Hello and welcome to Council Conversations. I'm your host, Council Chair Jolene Ivey. Thanks for joining us for our first episode. Today we're talking cannabis, everything you need to know about this growing industry in our county and in our state. We're here at Marion Main Dispensary in Capitol Heights with owner Hope Wiseman. Hope, tell me, how long have you all been open here?
So we have been open since 2018. We started out as a medical only facility, and as of July of last year, we became adult use as well. So we serve medical patients and adult use customers.
And how have you seen that change your business?
Well, of course, the volume has increased significantly. We've seen that across the state. So we have about 6 million people here in Maryland, and about 1% of the state so far has opted in, whether it is through medical or adult use. So we're super excited about the growth, and there's still a lot more growth in the industry left to go.
You know, I noticed when you walk in, there seems to be a lot of security measures in place.
Definitely.
Talk to me about that.
Definitely. You know, I think security was one of the main concerns of the state as they were developing the legislation that regulates our industry. I'm super excited about the fact that cannabis is becoming destigmatized. And I think that in order to make the community feel safe, that we had to prioritize safety. So cannabis dispensaries are extremely, extremely secure. It's really like Fort Knox here. It is not like a smoke shop or a liquor store or some of the other vice businesses that we have in our county right now. We're highly regulated.
Now, when you come in, people have to prove that they are over the age of 21.
They do.
And does that mean that if you have your kids with you, they can't come in with you?
No. So actually right now, the way that the laws are, and cannabis is ever changing, but right now you can bring your children with you. Mm-hmm. It is up to our discretion. There were new emergency regulations put in place that teach us how we can govern our space, right? And as of, I believe it's going to be June 1st, children 8 and older will be allowed to enter the facility with medical patients only. So for our adult use customers currently, they will have to leave their children in the car. We do have curbside for this purpose.
Not They're in also the car, delivery. Young lady. They leave them at home.
Or at home. If they can. I know a lot of people can't, so that's something that advocates are really fighting for, to make sure that adult use and medical patients have the same rights. We know a lot of people are adult use customers, but they are really truly treating medicinal ailments. So they deserve the same level of access to the plant.
Sure. I know that some people worry about children having access to your products. So tell me, how do you keep that from happening?
Definitely. So, you know, it is on us to educate the consumer about safe use. And part of this is how to keep your product at home away from children. So every product that we sell is in childproof packaging. On top of that, there's no way anyone under the age of 21 is getting past our lobby into the doors to be able to dispense cannabis. On top of that, we actually do a double check with age. So we check you as soon as you come in the door and you check in, and at the point of sale, we check your ID again. So there are two places here where we could avoid that. And like I said, we educate the consumer on how to conceal and keep your cannabis safe for quality as well as away from children in your home.
Excellent. Well, definitely. I'd love for you to show me around.
All right, let's go.
So Hope, I want you to tell me about your products.
Definitely.
I don't know, what are all these things?
We have a lot of different types of products. So up here, this is the brand Wild. Super popular national brand. They're in a lot of different states. It's an edible line. As you can see, they have a bunch of different flavors, and they're also in different levels of potency. Mm-hmm. So there's a high THC, there's a low THC, there's some that are crossed with other cannabinoids like CBN, which is good for sleep, THCA, and all of these different cannabinoids, right? This brand right here is called Dog Walkers. One of my favorite pre-roll brands that we sell here at Marion Main.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And how about these? Are those gummies?
So these are gummies as well down here, but this right here is a type of vape cartridge, right? Mm-hmm. So you've seen, remember the big vape crisis a couple years ago? And really they were talking about like tobacco vapes or cannabis vapes that were being sold on the illicit market, right? Mm-hmm. We didn't really have this problem in the actual regulated market, but vapes are great because essentially they extract all the cannabinoids out again, just like they do for the edibles, and then they put it in a liquid form, and then they put it in some type of vape battery that you can vape the cannabis from. Okay. So it's a little bit healthier than regular inhalation.
Gotcha.
Right? Okay,
what are these?
More products, just the same. We actually also sell like tablets and capsules that give you the more medicinal way to take cannabis.
Mm-hmm. How about like lotions and creams? I've heard about this.
Yes, we have lotions, we have creams. Don't have any display right here. We also have bath salts. So you can use cannabis a lot of different ways, but topically is really great if you have any type of nerve damage or anything like that. If you have a muscle that's really aching right there, if your knees, you have knee pain, really, really great to use cannabis for those things.
So Hope, I see this big screen you have up here with all kinds of information. What exactly is this?
Yes, so our screens tell us all the different products we have, how much they cost, and the potency level, so the THC percentage, which is how a lot of people shop, right? Mm-hmm. There are other things that can tell you why you would or wouldn't like a product, like the terpene count and also the full cannabinoid profile, because we have other cannabinoids besides THC, but THC is how our customers find us, right? So on our screens, you're gonna find all of our flower. When you see the type, those little buttons, that tells you whether it's an indica, sativa, or hybrid. Right?
So, I don't even know. Tell me what that means.
So typically, and again, there are multiple different ways that you can choose your cannabis products, right? But the average consumer knows indica, sativa, hybrid. Indicas, I always tell people to remember indicouch, right? Indicas make you feel a little bit more sedated, and it's a little bit more for pain management and when you really want to feel that like heavy body high. Okay? Mm-hmm. A sativa is more of an upper. A sativa is more of something that you're gonna do to be creative and to be productive. And then hybrids can be anywhere in between. There are sativa-leaning hybrids, there are indica-leaning hybrids, and then there are those true hybrids that are giving you different effects depending on the terpene and the full cannabinoid profile.
What is terpene?
A terpene is what makes cannabis actually smell, look, and kind of taste a certain way. So you can think of it as the flavoring of cannabis. So our screens will tell you what type of product it is. It will give you the actual name of the product and the brand that it's made by, because some people shop by cultivator, by brand. Mm-hmm. And then it will tell you how much is in the product. So whether it's 3.5 grams, which is an eighth of cannabis, all the way up to an ounce of cannabis, which is 28 grams. So we'll tell you that, and then we'll tell you how much it costs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are there any that don't have the same smell? Because that is one thing that people complain about.
So their flower is going to have a smell to it at all times.
All right.
But there are so many other ways to use cannabis that is much more discreet. Mm-hmm. So edibles, of course, don't have that smell.
Right.
Even vaping doesn't give off the same level of the odor, I guess, as the flower itself. So definitely there are other ways to consume cannabis that are much, much more discreet.
Well, we're going to take a short break and then we'll continue our conversation with dispensary owner Hope Wiseman.
Jason, let's go see your room.
I got the opportunity to get her, there wasn't no choice. I told myself, I'm gonna take custody of my daughter. It's my baby. That's what we're supposed to do as men. Take care of our home, build a foundation, you know what I'm saying? Love, our money, she's my purpose. I'm here to walk with her, hold her hand until she can walk alone. Ain't nothing like being a father in this world.
I'm Jolene Ivey, and welcome back to Council Conversations with Hope Wiseman, the owner of Marion, Maine. One thing I wanted to talk to you is about your roots, mm-hmm. right? You're from Prince George's County.
I am.
You went to Bishop McNamara High School.
I did.
Two of my sons went there.
So tell me about
growing up in the county.
Yeah, I had an amazing childhood. I tell people that all the time. I absolutely loved it. Some of my very best friends that I'm still friends with today, I met in elementary school. So I went to Riverdale Baptist. I went to Spalding for a year, and then I ended up at McNamara. And I made some of my very, very best friends. I learned so much. My mother was a dentist in the area. She just recently sold her practice about a year ago. So many people that are from Prince George's County and that shop with us at Marion, Maine were patients of hers or friends of mine or friends of one of my brothers. So it's really amazing to have started my career here in my hometown.
Right. No, that is very cool. I'm mm-hmm. glad you're here. I'm glad you're making money.
Yes.
To see a black woman making money.
Thank you. Thank you. We do too.
So tell me about your time at Spelman in Atlanta.
Yeah, so Spelman, best choice of my life. Shout out to every Spelmanite watching this, every HBCU graduate. I had just a really, really great time. So it was like a continuation of my childhood, seeing black excellence and being able to be a part of cultivating women, you know, because even when you're a student there, you are constantly giving back to those behind you, even sometimes in classes above you. So while I was at Spelman, I was a leader there. Much like everywhere I go, I was the president of the economics club while I was there for 2 years. I had really great internships, a lot of thanks to the career department at Spelman, and it landed me a full-time job at an investment bank in Atlanta. So that's where my career really started, but all thanks to Spelman College.
That is so cool.
Yes.
And what made you decide to get into this industry?
Well, so I thought I was going to be an investment banker and kind of work my way up and learn a lot of things and then go over to start to become a C-suite executive and kind of climb my way up. I thought I'd be like the CEO of Target one day, right? I never, ever thought I'd be in the cannabis industry. But my mother raised me to look for opportunities to build wealth for our family as well as to teach other black families how to do the same. So I remember I was working as an equity institutional sales analyst in an investment bank. And for those that don't know, that pretty much means you're selling stock research to hedge fund managers and mutual fund managers, all that good stuff. So I remember I was looking, I'm at my desk on a trading floor, just like what you've seen in movies, all that stuff, a big long desk, lots of computers, lots of screens. And I was looking up at the TV and CNBC was talking about legal cannabis on the East Coast. This is 2014, so this is super early. I had just graduated, and this is like my first full-time job. But I looked, and I'm hearing them talk about the growth of the industry. And I mean, they're talking charts that look like this. You don't see that often. It's also an emerging industry. There are not that many of those that come within one lifetime, right? I've already missed the dot-com industry and all of that. I also understood that cannabis had a social justice aspect to it because of the way that black and brown communities were purposely disenfranchised because of the war on drugs. So I understood that this was going to be one of the largest industries, fastest growing new industries, emerging industries of my lifetime, and that this could be a unique opportunity because I figured that eventually black and brown participation in the space was going to be highlighted and required. I figured, thank God it actually happened because it wasn't like that at first.
Right.
But I figured these things, so I thought to myself, this is what my mom taught me to look out for. This is our opportunity. This is our shot to begin my wealth building journey. So I went after it full force. I started to kind of look up the laws, how it worked. I was at the time still living in Atlanta, and I realized that Georgia didn't have anything going on. And I looked up my home state of Maryland and realized they had just passed the medical cannabis bill the year before in 2013. And it outlined how they would license new companies coming up in 2015. So I had a year to put together a little team, and here we are now in 2024.
Now, you've mentioned your mom to me in the break, and you told me that she'd had her own experience with medical cannabis. Talk a little bit about that.
Definitely. So a lot of people don't know that my mother went through a battle with breast cancer in 2017.
And of course she beat that and she is thriving. She's been in remission for a while now, for about 6 years, you know, so we are super, super happy about that. But while she was going through her cancer battle, we had just bought this building. We were building it out. Our general contractor had pretty much abandoned us, and we were doing all of this by ourselves. We didn't have a big financial backer either, so we were doing it on a shoestring budget. It was very, very stressful. You wouldn't have known, though, if you saw my mother. You would have had no idea. And while she was going through her chemo treatments and eventually her radiation treatments, of course, she was prescribed a lot of medicine to help deal with her pain, the ailments that come along with these things, the nausea, the pain, the fatigue, all of these things that came with it, the loss of appetite that came with it, the stress and all the things coming with losing your hair. And my mom was just truly against using all of this prescription medicine, right? So we had just won the medical cannabis license, and my mom was like not a user at all, right? I convinced her because this was a good opportunity from an economic standpoint. So although my mom was open to the idea of cannabis use, she had never really used cannabis before, not even when she was younger. So I remember saying to her, like, look at these studies, watch these things on YouTube of scientists talking about how cannabis works within our bodies, how we naturally have an endocannabinoid system that accepts cannabis and helps to regulate us to homeostasis. And this is what my mom desperately needed at the time, to be regulated, to just feel normal. So she began using cannabis products like RSO, tablets, and tinctures. My mom was never going to smoke cannabis, right? That was just not her thing. So I started giving her other products that were really, really strong, that kind of matched the potency of a Percocet, of an Oxy. And she was able to use these products throughout her time going through these treatments, and she never had to use prescription medicine. And that's when my mom truly became a believer of the power of the plant, besides just the economic opportunity of the space.
Hope, that is an amazing testimony. And thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate you.
Thank you for having me.
We're gonna take a quick break. And when we come back, we're gonna hear community reaction about cannabis in the county.
There's a blood shortage and we came up to Dead Lover's Point at midnight on Friday the 13th.
Lame.
Guess I'm gonna waste all this blood by dying in a predictable horror movie way.
50% of Americans like watching blood get spilled in horror movies, but only 3% donate it.
When was the last time you donated blood?
Jordan knows he shouldn't eat this entire bowl of nachos, but tonight he's earned that right. Because a few hours ago, in the middle of happy hour, he recognized a sign. Not from the gods or a bolt of lightning, but from a double heart, a kissy face, and a fourth ha in ha ha ha. That's when Jordan knew he was buzzed. So when it was time to go, he got a ride home instead of driving. Be a legend like Jordan. Recognize your buzzed warning signs and get a ride home. Buzz driving is drunk driving.
If we got it wrong with other vices such as alcohol and tobacco stores, we should not get it wrong again with marijuana. I don't think any of our esteemed council members would want this in their backyard or around their children or in their neighborhood commercial centers. So we should not allow it to happen to our citizens.
We're asking this council to consider the fact that this is a legal product being sold by legal means in a legal way in Prince George's County. Thank you.
Cannabis is destroying our youth and teenagers to focus responsibly.
It's unfortunate that PG County, the county in Maryland with the most black and brown people, is placing more barriers to beginning these businesses instead of helping to level the playing field in an already difficult industry.
You know, at communities like ours, which we call Gorgeous Prince George's, takes on too many vices, as what happens in many minority communities. And we say it's going to be managed this way, it'll be enforced in this way. But if, like, you take a look at the smoke shops, you take a look at the liquor stores.
Why are we relitigating the legalization of cannabis? It's already been done at the state level. In fact, Prince George's County was the second highest jurisdiction that voted in favor of it. Each of you council members should look at your own district to see the numbers in support. So those who are in opposition are probably those that were in the minority who don't favor legalization.
Welcome back to Council Conversations. You just heard some of the feedback we got in council meetings about cannabis legislation and where it should be cited in the county.